This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive on a, I know it's a little wet, rainy outside, but a beautiful Friday. As one more preseason game, and then it is off to the regular season, off to knowing the roster to start the season for the Texans. So getting closer and closer, obviously, big weekend for the Astros as they finally end that four-game losing streak. And gain a half a game on the Mariners, who were off yesterday. So that lead is now two games in the West, and they're looking to get going again here against these last-place teams, the Orioles and the Rockies, they got coming up in the next six. But, Clint, I would say this. I know that there's been some deals on what should be reported and whatnot. Clint, Tytus Howard is going to be a starting right tackle. Okay, like by everything that we've watched and heard and seen in practice, and how we've watched Ursary play on the left side, those are going to be your tackles. At this point, Clint, I will be floored unless there's something that is an injury or something out of the control that stops it. I will be at this point surprised if September 7th in L.A., that Tytus Howard isn't your right tackle and Arianta Ursary isn't your left tackle. Like, it feels like that's just where they are right now.
Based on what we've seen, yep, and what we've heard, since we could talk about what we saw, I believe that you are hitting a nail on the head. I believe the right tackle is going to be Tytus Howard. We know we heard D'Amico talk about the matchups with him and Aiden Hutchinson. We heard C.J. Stroud talk about the growth of Tytus Howard. So if Tytus Howard is going to be your right tackle, right, you are pushing it. You're not pushing him to right tackle because he couldn't play guard, right? You pushed him to right tackle because you couldn't even get through a practicing against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, right? Your quarterback couldn't get through a practice. Your offense couldn't install their damn offense, and you needed a better look. You had to slow down the pass rush. So you had to take your guard and push him to right tackle, which in turn took your right tackle, one of your right tackles, your best right tackle at the time, which is rookie Arianta Ursary, and pushed him to left tackle. Remember early in camp, I think he was going back and forth. Everybody thought he may be the backup swing tackle that could do both. Cam Robinson's injured. Boom, you're in a pickle. What do you do? Right? Arianta Ursary to left tackle. He's been playing well. Tytus Howard to right tackle. All of a sudden, you can practice. You can get quality reps. Your quarterback can get a little bit of time. And now you're on to something. And so the move, right, is, I think, was made because they just flat out, between the Cam Robinson injury and Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson wreaking havoc in the backfield, they had to try something. And when they tried the Tytus Howard thing, they realized, hey, this is the best right tackle that we got.
But this is where I was saying, and I think I agree with a lot of what you said, right? Something forced him to get to that point. Something forced him to get to that point to shift things around.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson kicking ass in practice.
Because this was not the plan, right?
Correct.
This was not the plan. And I will say, I will give, and you guys can give your judge of it, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. I will give D'Amico, the two Knicks, Cole Popovich, I will give them credit for adjusting the plan and not just sticking to the plan because, hey, we paid Cam Robinson $14 million, so let's make sure we do this. Or, hey, we prepped and prepared Titus, and he's put on weight.
Have they stuck to that plan, though? I mean, look, this goes back to your, like, last year you and I's conversation about Joe Espada and, like, the next pitcher up, and that pitcher just happened to pitch well. Like, I don't think they planned this.
No, yeah, but they could still right now. Cam Robinson's healthy, right?
I mean, yesterday was the joint practice was, I think, the first day he practiced, maybe the day before that.
But yeah, like right now, if that were Titus Howard,
they could go back now.
Titus would go right back to wherever they wanted him to be.
Yeah.
But right now, they're saying to themselves, it looks like they're saying, "Nope, Ariante Ursary is ready to have that over there, and Titus is ready to go ahead and move out to that right tackle." And as you said, our offensive line has clearly gotten better when we made that move.
Our ability to just function in practice got significantly better. Apparently, that those are reports. I don't know. Those are just reports that I heard, that the ability to practice and not just have everything disrupted in the backfield be chaos, it significantly improved when Titus Howard went to right tackle and Ariante Ursary went to left tackle. But yeah, your point of them sticking to what they've seen versus back to the original plan.
Yeah, they said this is the best thing, regardless of the money we spent on Cam Robinson, and regardless of, you know, the weight and we talked about it all offseason. Well, it looks like Titus has really got himself ready and put his body in a place to play guard. Like, it looks like he did that. Even with all of that, they said, all right, the plans change. Not all teams, especially when high draft picks and big money is involved in it, can just say, all right, yeah, the plans change because this is better. So I will give them credit on that, but they sure as hell better be right about this. Because at this point now, we've talked about this, and I know some of you may get annoyed about it, but we talked the number one things that they really needed to fix was the inside. And they came to, and I believe Titus Howard, to me, felt like he was going to be the big thing and the big answer there. And now they have Ed Ingram, who has been there. Now, this could be Clint, a situation. Maybe it is your situation of Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson just wreck shop to do this. Or it could be Ed Ingram has played so well that it's given us the ability to maybe kick Titus back out to his natural position. Or Ariante Ursary has taken the ball of left tackle and run with it so well that it's hard for us to take him out of that position and let him roll. Or it could be, man, we're gonna get our asses kicked on the edges.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get crushed. So
I think all of those points are possibilities. But I think Ed Ingram ultimately is the key. I said this last week. I think Ed Ingram ultimately is the key. And if Ed Ingram plays well at right guard, then you've got the freedom to do whatever you want with Titus Howard. You got the freedom to do whatever you want with Cam Robinson. You've got the freedom to do whatever you want with Ariante Ursary, right? Now, all of a sudden, hell, you can make Cam Robinson the backup. And if anything were to happen to Titus or Ariante Ursary, then you slide Cam Robinson in at left, and whichever one is still healthy plays right. I mean, you could literally shuffle the deck. The key is you've got to have a guard that you trust. You've got one in Lakin Tomlinson, I believe. You've got a center that they trust in Jake Andrews, it seems like. It's that right guard position that, boy, if it doesn't matter how good Titus Howard and Ariante Ursary are, it doesn't matter whether Cam Robinson plays or doesn't play. If the interior offensive line is consistently in the lap of C.J. Stroud, and even if it's just in passing situations that are important throughout a game and it's not chaos like it was last year, then I mean, you're gonna have some. There's gonna be some real questions for D'Amico and Nick the way they've handled this.
Yeah, text line coming through. You guys don't believe half the crap you guys say on the radio. Howard is 8 year and is showing growth. LOL. Cam is the starting left tackle. Well, I would just tell you, Cam is healthy. They played a joint practice yesterday, and he has continued to roll with the twos. And maybe the most impressive player in the preseason thus far has been Ariante Ursary at the left tackle spot. Now, maybe you will text in on Tuesday after the game against the Rams when you see Ariante Ursary at left tackle and Titus Howard at right tackle. I'm sure you won't. But or maybe you'll just be shocked and you can't believe it. I think if Cam Robinson were the left tackle, Cam Robinson would be getting those left tackle reps with the first unit with 15 days before their first game of the season. I believe he would be getting those reps in a new offense, and being that he hasn't played very much because of his injury. So, no, I disagree with you. I feel very confident. And if I'm wrong, I'll come out and tell you I was wrong. But I feel very confident that Ursary and Titus Howard are going to be your tackles on this.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to be the tackles, but more importantly, nobody said it was year eight for Titus Howard. He's showing improvement. I mean, if anything, here's the interesting thing on Titus Howard is people can be critical of Titus Howard. There's plenty of tape out there to say, boy, he can't block a damn soul inside or outside. There's plenty of bad tape out there. I would argue that there's some really, really, really good tape out there as well. But the one guy on this offensive line that I would say themselves, like personally, can look in the mirror and say, boy, I've had a real raw deal here, man, is Titus Howard. Like, here we sit again. I mean, my man played right guard for 2 weeks. Really, it looked like all of OTAs, all of offseason was prepping to play guard. And then all of a sudden, because the guys that you decided were better than him, and the guys that you were going to give opportunities to hit him couldn't block a damn soul, so much to the point where you couldn't practice, now you got to bump him back out there. And so, look, I don't know who's going to be the starting tackles, but I believe that Titus Howard, if he's given the opportunity to play right tackle from now, which it looks like he's about 2 weeks into being a right tackle, if they let him play right tackle, and that is the way that they go, I believe that right tackle is going to be the least of your worries.
Yeah, he hasn't seen right guard in weeks, as you just said. He hasn't been in that right guard spot in weeks.
I just don't know what. And look, he may not be worth a damn. I just don't know what. Like, I mean, we've heard it from CJ. Heard it from D'Amico. We've heard it from John Harris. Like, hey man, practice. There wasn't a pocket. You couldn't even get a ball off. Oh yeah. Boy, Titus Howard moved a tackle today. Boy, you were able to function a little bit as an offense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what the hell your question is.
And the point you made, Ed Ingram has also played well enough
last week. Played well last week.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't think Blake Fisher has been what they thought he would be. I think they thought he was somebody that would at least challenge to be a starter, and that didn't come to fruition. And Cam's been injured. And I think also they really love the Ursary situation.
I'll say this. It will be on brand for Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans to come out in week one against the Rams. Cam Robinson at left tackle. Ariante Ursary at right tackle.
And move Titus back
inside the guard, and that's how we play. I mean, it would be on brand for them. I'm just telling you the way they're practicing right now when all hands are on deck.
Yeah, here was CJ yesterday talking about the offensive line after their joint practice with the Lions.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's a pop every time, you know, the ball snapped. I thought, you know, it starts with Jake. You know, Jake has done a good job of IDing things. And him and Lakin are, like, the first ones to kick it off. Ed is right there. Titus is right there. Taylor, it's a group that's a lot of dogs, man. So I'm really happy that, you know, that we're able to run the ball like we have, because that opens up everything else.
Sounds like the group.
One dude he didn't name.
Named all five of them. And by the way, thank you, CJ, for giving us that.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping, whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
CJ gave us a... But you know what, CJ, he went around it. He didn't say the starting five. He just named five guys. Just happened to name five.
Oh, yeah, and Tay's right there.
Just happened to name five. Oh, God, yeah. I don't know, man. This one, though, is I'm glad they're looking at this and saying, all right, this is the absolute best group. We got to take our draft picks, the amount of money. We got to take that off. But they better be right about Ed Ingram, Andrews, and Lincoln Tomlinson. That they better be right about. And that is going to be the story of this season for the Texans. By the way, shout out to old Jackson Dart yesterday, man.
He looked good, didn't he? I've seen the highlight. Watch it live, but I saw the highlights.
That, man, the hell with that, man.
You keep his ass healthy, but look good.
Before the game, too.
Oh, you liked the outfit before the game, huh?
Listen, he did look good. I mean, his numbers. I mean, he's what 80% completion, adjusted completion. He had about five drops yesterday. I don't know if you caught that. Just guys flat dropping them. But 424 yards, four touchdowns, four total touchdowns.
Solid
no
little
pick.
Preseason.
Yeah, good preseason. Russ is still the starter over there. But I didn't know he had that. He's got some real Tyler Hero vibes. I didn't know. If you watch them walking, I didn't know who that was in front of. That was old Cam Scataboo in front of him.
Oh, was that who that was?
Yeah, and they all red.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had that in there. Oh, Jackson Dart, boy. He's
look
a,
good now.
Yeah, I used to always think he was strange because he did all that.
Painting the face?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I guarantee you, he got a wardrobe now.
He's got a little swag to it.
He ain't coming out of Ole Miss with no wardrobe. I promise you that.
Oh, boy, he tore that place up.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be versatile. He seemed to be versatile. I think I'm a Jackson. I think I might be potentially a Jackson Dart guy. Really? I really do. All right. Coming up as we're getting closer and closer to the college football season officially. I know there's some games coming up today and tomorrow, but week one officially next week. It'll be a lot of games a week from today on Friday. We're doing a question, college football question of the day leading up to it. I got an SEC one coming up next. We'll do that as we continue right here live on the drive. Looking at the Ron the Show Hughley text line. Looking at Ron the Show Hughley text line. You guys are making a big deal. Howard is the right tackle. Fisher hasn't developed in the way they wanted him to. And this is the O-line lineup they like.
Oh. I mean, think about what you just said. I'm sorry, that's your Ron Hughley text, my bad. Think about what you just said. You're making it a big deal. Titus Howard is the right tackle. What does that mean? That means either the rookie that everybody's ranting and raving about, absolutely balling and setting the tone, isn't going to play, or that means the $12 to $14 million guy you signed to replace Laremy Tunsil isn't going to play. I would say that's a big deal. I would say it's a conversation piece. Not that that's how it's going to work out. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but to the texter, I would say that's worthy of a combo. I mean,
if there is anything on the football team that is a big deal, I would think, however the offensive line turns out, would be the one.
Yeah,
it was certainly a big deal while CJ was repeatedly picking himself up off the ground in Kansas City after 8 sacks. Like, they said, hold on, you all believe the offensive line was a big deal? Hell, they said the offensive line was a big deal. They got almost everybody out of here that was on the team last year that started. They traded Laremy Tunsil. I would say it's a big deal in how they're going about their offensive line if the big major, I would say the biggest decision and move made was, we're going to move Titus Howard from his natural right tackle position to fix our biggest problem, which is interior offensive line. We're going to move him to guard until right before preseason game number one or two. Oh, no, we got to kick him back outside. And he changed his body, it would appear, to get himself ready to play in the inside. And to think, like, all right, they're not going with plan A. Because, like, what would you say, Clint? Do you think the initial, when they got in and sat down, right, this is how we're going to fix the biggest issue we had. What do you think plan A's starting lineup was? If you had to guess, what do you think plan A's starting lineup is when they signed Cam Robinson?
Cam Robinson, Lakin Tomlinson. I think Jarrett Patterson was it until a buddy and got cut up in New England. And then Titus Howard at right guard and Blake Fisher at right tackle. And then let's see what the rookie can bring to the table.
Now it has become Jarrett Patterson, no. Juice Scruggs, no. Andrews in at center, and it has now become Cam Robinson, it looks like, no. Rookie Ariante Ursary, I think for a good reason, because he's played his ass off over there. Now Titus Howard, who looks like he put on some weight, let's slide you back out. And now, hell, we didn't mention Ed Ingram, but Ed Ingram seems to have been the guy who's jumped Juice Scruggs to become the starter. They seem to be down to maybe plan C. Now, it's worked out, right? A lot of it, I think, is not all because everybody sucked. I think Ariante Ursary and Ed Ingram have played really, really well to help themselves to get to plan to this plan. But I would think anything regarding the offensive line, which was the biggest thing that held you back, I would say it's a big deal.
Worthy of a convo.
I would say it's a big deal that they've had to swing a lot of things around. All right, Clint, let me get my my question of the my college football question of the day off to you. Last year we watched the SEC. They got Georgia, Texas in. They got Tennessee in. And who else did they get into the college football playoff? Who am I missing? Texas, Georgia,
Tennessee.
Tennessee. They only get three? I thought they got four. Anyway, they got the three teams in to the college football playoff. Alabama just missed. They were the last team out. Do you think South Carolina can sneak in to be one of those teams to slide in to the out of the SEC into the college football playoff? Can they pull off what Tennessee did last year?
Yeah, I would think that they can. They have one of the more friendlier schedules. I would say, I think they got a top four SEC friendly schedule. Missouri has the easiest SEC schedule, which, by the way, look at Missouri's schedule. It is hard to believe that they live in the SEC and that schedule is what they got.
Is it a Texas
if
one
Missouri,
from last
if Missouri is ever, if Missouri's ever going to make a college ball playoff, it's got to happen this year. Missouri's schedule is a joke. So I would look at Missouri. Ole Miss's schedule in SEC terms is on the easier side, so it could be Ole Miss. And then South Carolina is on the easier side schedule-wise, so it could be South Carolina. For me, I'm going to go Ole Miss. I trust Lane Kiffin. I trust what he's been able to do year after year. I think he's a 10-11 win guy at Ole Miss, which I think Ole Miss is, should be an 8 or 9 win team, similar to Arkansas. He somehow finds a way to 10 or 11 that wins at every damn year. So I would probably go with Ole Miss, given that they got a lighter schedule over South Carolina, but I don't hate it. I love South Carolina.
They may have the best quarterback.
I love him.
They may have the best quarterback in college football. College football quarterback.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, look, I mean, he is primed, and I mean, he has got some ridiculous tangible skills. There is no doubt about it. He is physically gifted, and he's a pretty sharp kid. He was young when he kind of arrived. Lenore Sellers, there's no doubt about it. It wouldn't shock anyone if at the end of the year we're talking about him being in the Heisman hunt.
They got to get, I would think, 10-2. That's what I think Tennessee did last year. They got to get 10-2.
Which I think is very doable there, with their schedule.
They should be 5-0. I know Missouri they're better than Missouri. They're a better football team. Now, it is played at Faurot Field in Missouri, but they're a better football team. They should be 5-0, but before they get to that gauntlet they have. And that's the second half problem, where they go at LSU, home Oklahoma, home Alabama, at Ole Miss, and then at A&M. And then they have Clemson to finish the season at home. But that stretch, those five games in a row, LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, and A&M, they should be 5-0 going into that. And if they go 3-2 with that one and they can beat Clemson at home, I think that should get them in, because their schedule, I mean, they win, you know, they got Virginia Tech and Clemson non-conference. That should give them some help. Coastal Carolina is not a terrible program non-conference-wise. But if they go 3-2 through that stretch, and when you have a quarterback like they have, They got a shot. They did lose some guys on defense. I will say that they did lose some guys on defense, but they brought a couple of transfers in. They got a corner from NC State who they really, really like. But I don't know, man. When you got Sellers, who looks like he is primed to have a special season, they could pull off what Tennessee did.
They could. And I tell you who I'm gonna go for. I'm going for, in terms of being the surprise, I'm gonna go with Florida. I'm gonna go with Florida to surprise some folks. You know, I think Billy Napier. I think he survived somehow, some way. He survived. You know, last year you look at their schedule. They lost some games. I mean, I don't think they lost five games, but it was Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Miami. I mean, Texas A&M is the only one that wasn't flirting with the damn college football playoffs right there that they lost to. So I like Florida. I like Florida to be the team to make the make the potential surprise run to the college football playoffs.
They got LSU, Miami, Texas, all in a row. Georgia, Ole Miss.
They got a rough
Tennessee.
One. They got Florida State.
SEC.
They're middle of the pack SEC from a schedule, strength of schedule standpoint. DJ Lagway
got a quarterback that could be.
DJ Lagway is the truth. If he can stay healthy, local kid. If he can stay healthy. They're going to have a real shot. Because I've always said this. Look, when you look at the SEC, even as it lays out now, if you look at the SEC, when it comes to dudes, right, you know the usual suspects, the guys that are competing for national championships every year, right? Alabama's one of those schools. Georgia's one of them schools. LSU's one of those schools. You look now, Texas is definitely one of those schools. But Florida is one of those schools. Whether they go 500 or they win 12 games. It is not because they ain't got some, cold-blooded athletes on that squad. It has nothing to do with talent. They're going to have talent. And I think if DJ Lagway can stay healthy, I think Napier's got them boys primed.
They had a second half last year. They had a really good second half to keep him his job. Because he was primed to get fired. I don't know, man. I'm rolling with them Gamecocks. I like what they should be 5-0. They can get to 5-0. Now you
hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Got some special if he can roll. All right, coming up, it's this guy's time now for the Texans. We may see him a little bit tomorrow in the final preseason game, but we should see a lot of him during the regular season. We'll talk about that coming up next. All right, even though Tyler is out today, that does sound like a Tyler Milner tune right there to get us back in from break. That sounds like Tyler right there all day long right there. Looked like Tyler may have snuck in. He may have snuck in and said, hey, Byron, I need this one right here. Give me that. What is that? Do, 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 do. Remember what?
Third Eye Blind.
Huh? Right now. He's right now on the third tee box filming somebody else's tee shot with this song going in the background.
You know it is, man. That sounds like T. Millie. But Byron is in, holding it down the last couple of days. In here as we continue getting you ready for the Astros a little bit later on and the Texans as they have their final preseason game coming up tomorrow in Detroit. I don't know how much we will see this guy, Clint, but obviously we talked about plan A's. I think plan A for this team, weapon-wise, especially at the tight end spot, involved Brevin Jordan in a big way. Well, they have lost him for the season, obviously, with that knee injury he suffered in practice. And this means, Clint, I know you've been high on him, and many of you have been excited about him. But whatever role that Cade Stover was supposed to have, I think it has to increase and jump. And we talked about it when the Brevin Jordan injury happened. Would they go get somebody that, you know, you would look and say is maybe in the equal in terms of how much time he will play as a Brevin Jordan? And I don't think they've done that. And to me, that now means obviously you need to get something more from your lead guy, Dalton Schultz. But it also means Cade Stover has to probably take another step as well for you to get a lot out of that position. So right now it is Cade Stover's time. And the big question is he ready to take that leap to be – now, he's not going to be Brevin Jordan, right? He's not a mismatch guy that you can line up and expect to get chunk plays out of a tight end position. But is he to a point ready to take that next level to become a pass catcher, to become somebody that can impact the passing game from the tight end position, which I think they're going to need along with Dalton Schultz? That's the next step that they got to have him jump into right now with Brevin out.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think with or without Brevin, I think Stover was primed and ready to take the next step. I mean, everything we've seen and everything we've heard says that he's not slowing down, and that they had seen him taking really good strides in OTAs and really good strides in the offseason. And so, you know, that rolls right over into what we've seen, you know, in training camp. And whether you're looking at him wham blocking the big D tackle out of Carolina in that joint practice and just showing the physicality, or you're talking about him, you know, catching a couple of balls in the preseason here and catching some balls in training camp practices and showing that, hey, the routes are a little bit better. He's extremely comfortable in catching the ball naturally. I think Stover was one that was primed to take the next step. Anyway, I'll be honest with you. I got Stover as one of my untouchables right now with the Texans. When I say
untouchables, what do you mean?
Well, just, you know, there were some conversations about, you know, I think John Lopez said when Harrison Bryant was signed, this could potentially take some reps away from Stover from a standpoint of him putting his hand in the dirt. And I think he's untouchable. I don't think anybody's taking reps away from Cade Stover. I think Cade Stover is one of the guys that D'Amico Ryans looks at, along with probably Ariante Ursary, maybe Lakin Tomlinson to a certain degree, definitely Joe Mixon. I think he looks at these guys, and when he looks at what he wants a D'Amico Ryans coached football team's offense to look like, not schematically, but like just, we will punch you in the mouth, we'll enjoy it, we'll get in the huddle, we'll come back and we'll do it again. When you look at the guys that are going to set that tone and the guys that truly, legitimately, it literally is in who they are as a being, I think Cade Stover is one of those guys. And to me, I think D'Amico Ryans looks at that and goes, I'm going to reward the guys that are literally wired the way that I want them to be wired. It's just like Ariante Ursary. Like, I think this is more about, should we start the best player or not? Should we start the best guy right now? I think this is a play to Ariante Ursary's come in here, and he's proven that he is exactly what D'Amico Ryans wants his offensive line room to look like, sound like, play like. And if that guy is rewarded by being the starting left tackle immediately and can take over the offensive line room, I think that it is a play that could last for 5 years, not just right here, right now, week one of the 2025 season. Like, I think there's certain guys that, because how they play the game,
yeah,
is what D'Amico's looking for, I think they're untouchable. And I think Stover, not to get too far away from your point, I think Stover is one of those guys.
But do you the physicality part, I think that's a big part that he brings over. Do you think, though, that he needs to have, like, they're going to need him to have an increase in terms of the passing game?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think he's got to be.
He's got to pick up some of the slack. Whatever that revenue was.
Yes, I think he's got to pick up some of the slack. I think there's. Look, when you look at how you defend the Houston Texans in a 12 personnel, right? I mean, if you're in a 21 personnel or 11 personnel, and he's in the game, he's obviously catching a linebacker, right? The nickel defender is going to be opposite whichever other tight ends in the game or which other wide receivers in the game. He's going to be matched up with a linebacker in most situations, and so he should be able to do work. You know, he ideally is going to get a better matchup than maybe even Dalton Schultz if he's catching a nickel or he's catching a safety in man. You could argue he's going to be the matchup problem, the match for the defense. And I think he's ready to take advantage of it. I like him. A true inline tight end, plays the game a little bit differently. I think he's going to have some different opportunities. And that quick game stuff we've talked about that they're going to have to survive with early on with C.J. Stroud and protect their offensive line with it, I think he's going to be a big part of that. I think if we're going to get a good version of the Texans offense, I think it's going to have to – I think Cade Stover has to play and be a big part of it.
Last year he was 15 catches for 133 yards and a touchdown. Right, that's fine. You can understand they were slow and moving him slow and bringing him in slow, and I don't think he's going to have the role that he will this year. And I'm not saying he needs to go light it up like 700 yards or anything like that. But to me, a good second tight end, like I think Noah Gray with the Chiefs had 40 catches for 430 yards and 5 touchdowns. I don't know about the touchdowns, but can he get in that range as a second tight end, especially the way this offense is going to be, where it looks like a lot of quick stuff in the middle of the field could be options, and the tight ends, no surprise with Nick Caley and his background, seem to be more involved in this. And can he jump this thing from 15 to 30 catches, you know, and get in the 300 plus range as a second tight end and somebody in the red zone that is usable down there in the red zone. That's, to me, the jump that I think they need him to make, along with, as you said, his physicality, you know, in the run game and blocking.
Yeah,
and
I think you're going to see him on the field a lot more. I think from a snap perspective, from a volume of snaps, I think he's going to get more than anybody, any other tight end in the room. And the way that they want, assuming they can run the football, and if you got a true inline tight end, you running the football, boy, the all of a sudden in that play action game over the middle of the field, he becomes an absolute monster. All of a sudden, the boot game, misdirection game, catching that ball in the flats, which we've seen multiple times this offseason with him, he becomes a monster. And so when you get that many snaps, which I think he's going to be again a high volume guy,
and you're
a run first play action type team, which I think is what they want to do. There's just a lot of signs pointing towards Cade Stover being, you know, kind of arriving this year. I'm with you. I don't think he's going to go out there and have a Pro Bowl year, but arriving and being
he's definitely going to take a step forward.
Being a true inline tight end that can help you in a run game and as a pass threat, like, and prove that you can do that at the NFL level, and you're not just some developmental player that was a defensive end at Ohio State, you know, for the first couple of years. Get beyond that. Hey, no, I'm a tight end in the league kind of deal. I think that happens.
I feel good about him taking a step and becoming, you know, more of what they need him to be. Right. Like I said before, I thought in the run game, pass block, whatever they needed, that physical part, he was ready to take another step. Brevin Jordan's injury is going to force him to go more, because I don't think Harrison Bryant is going to be somebody that comes in and is going to take away the Brevin Jordan snaps. But I feel good about Cade Stover being able to take his game up to the next level. What you got coming up?
All right, what I needed to happen last night with the Astros, it happened. And I ain't talking about them 7 runs. And C.J. Stroud, he's going to tell us all about Titus Howard, y'all. That right there is next, right here on Sports Radio 610.